The Gazette has been to create a climate in which expressions could be freely expressed.
I think
including
so.
Unpopular expressions.
I think so. God knows we've had a lot of unpopular things to say. I would say that's one thing. And in the political campaigns, we're always right in the thick of it, and sometimes we have great successes, like with Rockefeller and with Bumpus when he was running for governor. And then we have disasters like the loss of Fulbright, which is really a disaster for the Republic, not so much for Arkansas as it is for the country.
There was no doubt that Bumpers could have been reelected for a third term.
Not in the slightest, I don't think. Very popular.
Was it your view that if he wanted to go to the Senate, he should have waited
for Big John
McClellan?
I think he could have gone. He could have picked up a third term as governor. Gone out of office in January of 1977, and by January of 1978 he would be cranking up his campaign for the impending vacancy in the Senate. Of course, that would obviously have been riskier than what he did. The question here is what you do to gain the office that you want, and whether or not it's whether you break the rules of principle to select a target such as the one that Bumpus selected. But beyond that, beyond breaking the rules, of course, there's no one in Arkansas that we would have conceivably supported against Fulbright, because although we've differed with Fulbright in many things, obviously, of course, the his accommodation of his constituency on the civil rights. But despite of all that, we felt that Fulbright is the greatest man that Arkansas has ever given the country. And there's no one we would have supported against Fulbright.
Where do you see the Republican Party going in Arkansas?
It is really worse, I suspect, now than in its years of success with the Rockefeller, except for John Paul Hammerschmidt, the single congressional seat. But the Arkansas Republican Party, I'm sure it must be the weakest in the country.
Why is that?
Well, there was a sort of an Old South Republican Party here, Old South Republican Party, which had a measure of strength, not much, but some, before Rockefeller. And then Rockefeller built it up and succeeded, took the governorship, lieutenant governorship. And then the Rockefeller Republican Party collapsed. And the old-time Republican organization had, at that point, had practically vanished, and there's just nothing left. I would guess there's probably less now than probably. I feel sure it's weaker now than it was before Rockefeller.
So the state is now more one party than it was before Rockefeller.
I think so. It is. I'm sure the Republicans are nowhere as weak as they are in Arkansas. They have the single House seat, which is sort of which will depend on Hammerschmidt's popularity to for them to hold.
What's been the effect of legislative reapportionment in Arkansas?
Well, I I suppose the legislature has improved some. I suppose it was beneficial. However, one of the offsprings of it, which is the ward system, a district system, has had one good effect and one very bad effect, and I'm of two minds about it. Finally, we got black faces in the legislature. We had been all white, and because of that, we had to go to the ward system for whatever reasons. I guess the state couldn't tolerate it. Well, obviously, it couldn't tolerate an all-white legislature the rest of it. This late. So they went to the ward system, and now we have black members of the legislature. At the same time, the races and the campaigns now are so are just rather like neighborhood popularity contests. And issues are not drawn. No one represents what we call the metropolitan area. No one represents the whole community anymore. The effect here in this, what's the only fair-sized city in the state, is pretty bad. We lost in a little old ward race. We lost this second runoff primary. We lost one of the best members of the House that we had, just because he was running in a little piece of a district and a lot with a light turnout. We had an editorial on it day before yesterday. So the reapportionment has been good, but the redistricting that has followed for other reasons has threatens the quality of the legislature. Of course, you know all about our Constitution, which is just dreadful.
I was going to ask about that next.
Well,
is that, do you consider that, where on the scale of priorities of needs for additional change do you rate constitutional reform?
It would be about as high as anything. It would certainly be very high, but the prospects of, we turned one down 3 or 4 years ago, whenever it was. Prospects of getting a new constitution continue. Very difficult, very uncertain. Of course, they're cranking up again to try to get one on the way.
How about the question of salaries for public officials?
Oh, that's part of it, of course. It's utterly incredible. It's simply the whole system, if they don't correct this some way, the whole system of government in Arkansas, I think, is almost ready to collapse. Just to go under when you pay mayors and sheriffs and county judges, you know, the county judge in Arkansas is actually the principal administrative officer in the county. Pay them $5,000. The Attorney General, $6,500. Attorney General of Arkansas, the governor, $10,000. Of course, the governor does have a lot of perks, which the others don't have, and it's not quite as.
Isn't this an invitation for massive corruption?
Oh, massive, and I'm sure we have our full share of it. It's just hopeless. This is the single most ludicrous aspect of the Constitution.
What is the role of the county judge?
He is the county. He just, except for the sheriff and tax assessor, do certain functions, but he just performs what the county. He performs the role that county commissions do in other states. He simply runs it.
A one-man operation?
It's a one-man.
He's elected countywide?
He's elected countywide.
Is he a judicial officer? Does he hold court?
Only in bastardy cases. Somehow he's in charge of bastardy, but I think that's his.
But he really does not function in as a judicial officer at all.
He's a judge who is not a judge at all. Actually, he's a sort of a county manager and county legislative body all in one. Well, actually, there is a county. There is a legislative body called Quorum Court, but it has no power.
And does he set salaries? Does he?
Yes. I think some of his aides make more than he does, I believe. I think he has some.
But does he hire in response to hiring county officials, setting policies on?
Except for these other elected county officers.
How important is he as a political figure?
Pretty important. Not as much as he used to be. They used to be the absolute czars of Arkansas politics. Well, they used to be much more powerful than they are now. But
if you're talking about
we're
the county,
more urbanized now than we were.
The Democratic organization, to the extent that it exists, is the courthouse politics. Is he the chief official or the sheriff or the one of the two, are they the two key people in each county?
Well,
one or the other.
Well, really, the county judge is overshadowed the sheriff. The sheriff has his particular role, you know. He's just the law enforcement man.
Except
and
in
the
Conway
tax,
County.
Huh? Yeah, well, yeah.
Conway County.
Except in Conway County. That's different. That's the whole story. Walden Hawkins is the last of the old-time bosses, I guess. But the county judge is the big man because he handles road construction and general disbursement for whatever the county purposes are.
How would you compare the quality and the amount of coverage of the state capitol by the press corps here, as compared to Tallahassee or other states?
Well, I would guess. Person for person, or rather, considering the population of the state, I would think that it would rate very well here. I hadn't really thought much about it. I think the state house coverage is wrapping everybody up. I mean, some not so good, some that are very good, but I'd say it's good.
Is there enough investigative reporting?
No, I would say not. Of course, I'm an old investigative reporter, which is what I did in Florida for about 5 years. There were two or three of us set a pattern for investigative reporting in Tallahassee, which has become the rule in the Tallahassee State House. We don't do it as much. There's just not as much of a tradition for it in the Arkansas State House, I don't think, as there is in Tallahassee.
Is this one of the reasons people say that Arkansas has scandal-free government? That nobody really thinks that close a look at it?
Well, I think that was true during the Faubus years. Faubus, you know, the lid blew off after he got out. But there were scandals obvious while he was in, really, though. True. Certainly it was true in the... The claim that, Faubus claimed to be scandal-free, and actually there was a period there when some of the national media bought the idea. I'm not sure whose responsibility it was that he got away with it for a while. But anyway, I would say that the state administration under Bumpers and under Rockefeller before him has been very clean. Now, I don't think that that doesn't apply in the case of the Secretary of State, who is a little independent constitutional officer, has a little domain which has not been clean. But most of it is the governor. And I think the governor's administration for eight years has been clean.
Think there's been enough access and openness, state government?
Well, I think that too has come on in the last 8 years. I don't have a feeling that I don't have a feeling that secrecy in our state house is a very serious problem. The press has been very alert on that point. I think the reporters and Sigma Delta Chi and the newspaper editorial writers, all I think been
pretty alert. How about the fact that under Bumpers you've been created basically a cabinet, although it's an informal arrangement.
Yeah.
It's not formal, and certainly not in the same sense the Florida cabinet. But that he has what amounts to a de facto cabinet, and that the cabinet meetings are all closed, and we understand in the mansion.
Yes.
And isn't that where basic state policy is set?
Well, I.
Or
you know, you can get different readings on this. I guess. Different readings on the issue of the state cabinet out there. My own thought has been that, to some extent, possibly, we have to follow the practical and legal definitions of what is a public, of what is a legal board and what isn't. A board which exists as such, meetings must be
concerned because the cabinet is not really a
Not a state board, you know, and I'm not sure that when you get out of the realm of what constitutes a public meeting that there's any real way that you can define it.
The state's economic development is related to public policy, which means political, which is political in the broad sense. Where do you see, how do you assess that economic development, since you've been here?
Yeah, well, it's been substantial, and maybe we're ahead of the rest of the South.
But yet Arkansas still ranks 49th in per capita income.
I know. Is it 49th now? I thought I understood Bumpers recently saying we were up to 46th or 7th or something like that.
Last figures I saw, and I haven't seen.
Well, one of the basis of this conclusion was a report within the last 6 months, a year or something like that, that I thought we had jumped a couple of notches. Now, that's one of the reasons why I thought that maybe, you know,
I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
I have the
impression that maybe we're doing better. Again, as I say, of course, there's been a great economic development, especially here in central Arkansas, and the growth of Little Rock has been very impressive. Here again, in terms of per capita income and statistics like that, again, you get into the point of how much of the New South is real and how much is illusion in the sense of its relationship to the rest of the country. If it's relative, have we really made much gains in relationship to the rest of the country? Although I'm not sure that the economic thing and the social thing necessarily parallel. Getting back on this business of the New South, I would indicate again that it's something that I'm really still trying to work out in my mind just how much of it is real. And when you consider Arkansas, for example, there's certain things that are undeniable. The place of blacks in state employment, for one. The defeat and retirement of the old racist demagogues, for another, which is something that hasn't necessarily happened in the rest of the South, or in the deepest South.
I say a lot of them are making accommodations and changes.
Yes. Well, yes. But there again, I'm not sure. I really have my doubts as to how much accommodation is really going on with George Wallace and Lester Maddox. But on the other hand, in Arkansas, there are very strict limitations on how far a politician can go in any areas of liberal versus conservative issues. But again, as I say, I'm really just trying to define all this in my own mind. But I do think that Arkansas is substantially better, is come further than the deepest South. And I'm still trying to assess in my own mind just how far we have come in Arkansas. I know that some of what I say is contradictory, but that's simply because I'm still trying to work it out. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to do in the next few weeks, do a piece on this for the New York Times op-ed page, and I'm still trying to work out exactly what my conclusions are.
Well, along those lines, is there a good reason to write a book about the South? Is it different from the rest of the country?
I think the South is still different. As I say, I think the rest of the country, to some extent, is joining us on our viewpoints.
How does it differ from the other regions?
Well, that's a big question. We are, in the whole context of social issues, we're generally more conservative than the rest of the country. Our way of life in many respects, the way we live, I think, is an improvement it's better than the way of life in the rest of the country. I think we have a certain personal, these things are very indefinable. I do think that in the South we have a certain personal relationship with each other that is more human, perhaps, than in that which is dominant in the rest of the country. These things may be these things may be illusions, like the illusion of the reformed non-racist New South, but I do have a feeling that there is substance in these in our the way we live as being something different.
Do you think, insofar as Bumpers is concerned and his potential for being on the national ticket, and it has gotten some attention,
sure,
some speculation, is his race against Fulbright, which on the one hand sets him up nationally as possibly as a giant killer, is it also likely, I mean, is there a chance, in your opinion, of that hurting him to some extent as being perceived as an opportunist?
It will work both ways. He's certainly Fulbright's. Fulbright has a pretty good-sized clique across the country and around the world, and these people are usually pretty important in the National Democratic Party. And certainly, he has alienated a lot of people, a fair-sized number of people, simply because Fulbright had his following and has his following. There are elements both ways. Of course, Bumpus could very well be on the vice presidential ticket there, but the odds on that are always long, I think, for anybody. He may have his prospects may be as good as anyone's and better than most, but still they're, it's like shooting dice. Who turns up with a vice presidential nomination? Of many circumstances, I would say his prospects are are as good as anyone else's.
What does the defeat of Forbes last time, and the fact that he didn't even get in the runoff, mean insofar as George Wallace is concerned? Or does it mean anything?
I don't think it means anything, really. Wallace is the absolute king of Alabama, as you know. And incidentally, I'm in fairly close touch with Alabama because I am from Alabama and was born and reared in the most Wallace of Wallace country, which is Andalusia and its extremes in the far south part. And Wallace is simply just dominates the state totally, whereas Faubus is just, here are the two of the original racist governors, and one of them is finished, and one of them is as strong as Huey Long was, I suppose, in his day. It's just two entirely different patterns. And I'm not at all impressed with the scrubbed up George Wallace. I think that I don't know what Charlie Evers and the other blacks, I don't understand their motivation, but I think the idea of a reformed Wallace is pure moonshine. Which is somewhat off the scope of your question. I go back to, I'm not uninformed about, I would assert, on what's going on in the rest of the South in certain states because I do visit them, because I have connections and associations, having lived in both Alabama and Florida. My brother is one of George Wallace's lieutenant colonels and was a Wallace delegate to the last Democratic National Convention. And I have close insight to the Wallace point of view.
How much of a factor do you think Wallace will be in 76 Democratic politics?
I suspect he's going to be a factor, a pretty strong factor. Now, I would not think that he would get on the ticket, but I would think that he might have the veto of the vice presidential nomination, perhaps, something like that.
Anything else you wanted to ask?
I would have wondered a great deal.
Are you optimistic about the politics of the state in the future?
Insofar as not reverting to our worst politics, yes. Insofar as Arkansas electing a man of a liberal national democratic point of view that is stating and formally adopting such a point of view, or electing figures of that point of view, I wouldn't be too optimistic about that. That would be too much to expect. But yes, I would say I'm optimistic about Arkansas's political future. We have just done a terrible thing by not re-electing Fulbright. David Pryor, I think, is a very promising figure as governor and probably or very strong possibilities of becoming senator, replacing McClellan after that, and that I think would be a very positive gain. So I would say that I'm optimistic in the immediate future, and a good deal of that would probably hinge on the person of David Pryor.
You said at the beginning of the interview that there were enormous changes in the state. When you came here in 1959, as you look back now, almost 15 years, could you have predicted the amount of social and political change that occurred in that 15-year period?
That I don't know. 15 years is a long time. A lot can happen there.
Let's say 10, the last 10.
That would be dating from
64.
I think from then I probably could have, yes. From the things would be, the Faubus era was running out. It was running out in 64. It was running out then. 15 years ago, I don't know, 15 years ago we were just at the insofar as this context of state politics was concerned, we were just at the bottom. At the same time that, curiously enough, in our contribution to the country, Fulbright was just moving into his period of greatest service. But to some extent, in some extent, maybe Fulbright is just an accident of history somehow, that we would have given him to the country and taken him back.
What do you think he's going to do?
Oh, there's just no end of... I have no idea, there'll be so many things he can do. I would just guess he'd probably wind up in academia, lecturing here and there, or perhaps, England.
When you came out, when the Gazette came out editorially, full force for Fulbright in this race, did you expect it at that time to have any significant impact on the election?
Yes, because I just didn't realize the sweep of Bumper's popularity or the vulnerability of Fulbright in under attack from a governor of such popularity. So we never really know, of course, when we're going to be affected, when we are. We don't know.
I mean, we heard that there were polls taken right at the beginning that showed
about the same.
Almost the same proportion of result as actually happened, about 2-1.
I don't think we moved anything in this race or the tremendous effort made by the Fulbright people generally.
Could he have run a better campaign? Significantly better?
I don't think so. I was talking with Fulbright on election night, and he said, I could have stayed in Washington and it wouldn't have made any difference. Well, that's not quite right, but at most, I guess we picked up 5 percentage points from a very low place, and maybe not any. So it was just that when Bumpers decided to move, well, that was it, really.
Do you attach any significance to this very strong showing that Clinton made in that congressional race?
Clinton is a strong is a very attractive figure, and I think he will give John Paul Hammerschmidt a hard run for it this year.
But here's a man, young man, who is, am I correct, he is identified and perceived as a real personification of a liberal national Democrat?
He's not saying it all, except that he is, whereas Bumpers isn't. Bumpers is really a centrist, if he's anything. He's a centrist. I think that Clinton is actually a liberal, but he's not running as it. He's not running as such. The same way, I think Pryor is really a, his record in Congress is that of a of is indicates that he's really a national democratic liberal, but he doesn't run that way. So in the case of Clinton, I think he is, but I think his campaign was in the generalities of bumpers, vague, not very, not really saying very much.
How do you assess the impact politically of organized labor?
It's sometimes it's very, it's pretty strong in Central Arkansas, I'd say. They lose them, they want them, you know.
Compared to other southern states, would you consider more effective?
I think so. Bill Becker is just a great labor leader. He really is. You must talk to Becker.
We've talked with him.
You have, yeah. I think Becker is just the greatest, really. I think he's the best. Of course, I'm speaking. I don't know who the labor leaders of the South are, but I think he's got to be one of the best.
How about the political impact of blacks in Arkansas?
They saved the state for Lyndon Johnson in 1964. They couldn't begin to save, '64. They couldn't begin to save McGovern in 72 or Winthrop Rockefeller when Bumpus beat him in 1970. Rockefeller had tremendous black vote, but very little else. So they can be decisive. I think they were decisive in Rockefeller's first two races, but only in a swing situation. So sometimes they're very, very, very influential, and sometimes not at all.
Is Mills going to be in any trouble this year?
No, you know, Republican running in the fall, not in any trouble. Now he's lost stature in Arkansas like he has everywhere in the country, but he's not in any trouble from a Republican candidate, and wouldn't have been in spite of all, he wouldn't have been in any trouble with a Democrat. Although he would have, if a substantial Democrat had run against him, of course he would have got some votes. Mills is not in any trouble in the sense of any threat at all of losing his seat. He's not as popular as he was.
How much of a vote would Mrs. Petty have to get in order for it to be embarrassing to Mills?
Well, if she got 40% of the vote, it would be very embarrassing, I'd say. 35% somewhat. As to whether she would get that much or not, I don't know. She's an old Agnew admirer, incidentally. She's very personable and attractive, and she's a dedicated Goldwater conservative.
But she was also very close to Rockefeller, right?
I think so, yeah. Well, Rockefeller, you know, he had a foot in several camps, like I suppose accomplished politicians usually do.
Isn't there anything else? Questions we should have asked and didn't.
I don't know. I don't think so. I've jumped around and
There is one other question I wanted to ask, and that is we've been told that one of Rockefeller's real major achievements, but one that has not received a great deal of attention, or has not talked about a whole lot, was in reforming the electoral process in the state, uh-huh. particularly through bringing a lot of lawsuits. Uh-huh.
Come in. Is that you? This is the public. I keep coming back to that, trying to work out the theses. I guess the conclusion I have at this point is that Arkansas and the Deep South are really two different, are two different places in the political political development progress, and that it's probably holds on the periphery of the South as distinguished from the Deep South. I suppose that's about as much of a general conclusion on what we're talking about as I can make. But I'm still trying to work it out.
When are you going to do that piece?
End interview with James Powell. No more transcription. This tape.